Hi, I'm Chiara Albertani, and you're very welcome to my podcast, Behind the Series. Hello everyone, and welcome to the fifth episode of Behind the Series. This week I went behind the scenes of a fascinating, thought-provoking TV series which represents a good example of well-made television, but also an exception in the American network television for the themes and topics it deals with. This week's episode is about the amazing TV series Good Girls. Good Girls is an American comedy drama that talks about three suburban moms, Beth, Ruby, and Annie, who are struggling to keep their families together and to make ends meet. Feeling left out from society, they decide to rob the supermarket where one of them works. But little did they know that the robbery was only the tip of the iceberg. In fact, that one-time event led them to a new secret world, that is, money laundering. So in season one, the three moms start to build their own empire, becoming money launderers, but they also find themselves victims of their own criminal actions. After the heist, one of the women finds in her house some gang members led by the crime boss Rio. It turned out that the money they stole were his, and he was housing it in the supermarket they robbed, and he wants the money back. So the women try to put together some of the money they have left, but they are short. From there, Beth, Ruby, and Annie will start living a brand new, scary, but also to some extent fascinating life, a life that will put in danger their lives and relationships. Good Girls was created by the talented American screenwriter Jenna Banz, who is also a producer and writer in Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and The Family. In an interview, Banz says that the idea of Good Girls came about in 2016 when she saw her mom deeply concerned and sad about the everyday news. So what Jenna Banz did was taking the anger for what she saw and read every day on TV and in the newspaper and used that anger as fuel for writing. So she wanted to channel that energy into something productive, something that would make her mom laugh again. The show embodies a very fight-or-flight mentality, where these women do whatever it takes to get their lives sorted, regardless of the consequences. Banz said, "I wanted to write something that was fun and entertaining, but also empowering, and speak to those women out there who feel like they've been backed into a corner, and show that there's a way out." Variety and Vanity Fair define the show as a mix of Breaking Bad and Desperate Housewives, in a sense that in all these shows, the protagonists are always brought to do bad things by difficult and sometimes unbearable situations they live in. In all cases, it's always a good person that takes questionable actions to keep their family going. Complicated anti-heroes, audacious plotting, and inventive camera work don't often live outside the cable and streaming, and yet Good Girls makes it work. It's a show that was indeed a rather bold choice for a network that preferred dramas such as This Is Us. But over the past 2 years, Good Girls challenged the network TV status quo. NBC really wanted something new and appealing in its schedule. If Good Girls has become a more fascinating show by digging into and raising questions about morality, it has also more deeply probed the costs of female ambition season after season. The three women, sister Beth and Annie and their friend Ruby, are all driven to crime by separate, searing domestic concerns, and the details of their anxiety are some of the most refreshingly honest on TV. In season 2, Jenna Banz says that she and the writers wanted to push the protagonists much further in terms of what they are willing to do. Executive producer Bill Krebs adds, "If season one was, how do we get out of this? Season two is more like, now that we're stuck in it, how do we deal with it? What are the ramifications on family? What does it mean to them? And do they want to get out of it or stay in it?" Outside America, the show was brought to its success through Netflix. Netflix bought the international rights for the show, and after season one, Good Girls was put on the online platform everywhere in the world except the US. But a month before season two aired, Netflix decided to make the first season available in the US as well. Actress Retta said that after that, she started to see the results of the success of the show. In fact, more and more people started talking about the show online as well as following her on Twitter. So the fandom of Good Girls grew thanks to Netflix.
You are listening to Behind the Series podcast with Chiara Albertani.
have a better understanding of the protagonists and their actions, let's now go deeper into the characteristics of the three women. Let's start with Beth, interpreted by Christina Hendricks, also known for programs like Mad Men and Another Period. Beth is a housewife and a mother of four who finds out that her salesman husband Dean is cheating on her with a much younger woman. Moreover, the husband wasted all their money investing them into the car dealership that he clearly doesn't know how to run. Their family is almost near bankruptcy. They have a big mortgage to pay and four children to maintain. Everything adds up and Beth can't deal with the situation any longer. She wants to act and she does it when she sees the other two women in a similar condition. Beth is the unofficial leader of the group. She likes the criminal life in which she enters and Vanity Fair has defined her as the Walter White of the situation. Like him, Beth sees how powerful she can be in the world she creates. She loves it and she loves the people in it, so much so that she starts a relationship with the criminal boss Rio. The actress Christina Hendricks is great at communicating her appetite for dark energy, the sudden conflict between Beth's settled life and the one that she never dared to imagine. The second woman is Beth's sister Annie, interpreted by Mae Whitman, also known for Parenthood and Arrested Development. Annie is a single mom with an anarchic attitude that sometimes results in a teenager-like cartoony behavior. She is the mother of Sadie, who was born when Annie was still a teenager and who considers her as her best friend. At the same time, Annie is going through a hard divorce. Her ex-husband Greg has moved in with his new girlfriend, who is very rich. Annie instead works in a supermarket and lives in a small apartment. Moreover, Annie has to see Sadie going to leave to her dad's new girlfriend's house to spend time with him. Like her sister Beth, Annie too has good reasons to act bad. Whitman said that she immediately accepted the role as Annie because at that time she was going through a similar situation and she could really relate to her. Plus, she loves the kind of shows which are genre-bending and are able to twist and turn things when you less expect it, such as starting off with three families and taking the whole thing to a new different level in a sudden way to start a total new journey. The third woman is Ruby, interpreted by Retta, also known for Parks and Recreation. Ruby is a waitress and a mother. Her daughter Sarah has a serious kidney disease and she needs some expensive medical treatments. Treatments that Ruby and her husband Stanley can't afford anymore. Ruby is the moral compass of the three women, maybe also because her husband is a policeman. She is always the one that makes the other two think carefully before acting, and she is the most reluctant to the robbery plan. Nevertheless, she can't do otherwise given the delicate situation in which her daughter lives. In an interview, actress Retta says that in the show you can clearly see how much money is important if you need medical treatments in America. In the TV show, you can really see the difference before and after the robbery. Retta saw this TV series also as a challenge for her because she was used to play comedy roles and not drama. But she says that she enjoyed it because she got to play a normal, real person with real struggles and frustrations. In fact, Retta decided to accept the role immediately in the TV series when she had a call from her manager. She got the scripts by email and she instantly loved it. Jenna Bans said that she wrote it having Retta in mind for Ruby's role. And people as well can see how versatile Retta is as an actress. She can do comedy and drama together, and people can relate to her part.
Behind the Series Podcast with Chiara Albertani.
Good Girls is an innovative show for different reasons. If Good Girls in season 1 digged into and raised questions about morality, in season 2 it has more deeply probed the costs of those women's ambition. Beth seduces Rio and takes control of her husband's business. But at the same time, outside her world of crime, other moms think she's becoming very weird. His husband feels she has taken control over everything and he takes the kids away from her. So, although she's the boss of the criminal life she has built, she becomes nothing in the real world. And it's the same thing for Ruby and Annie. Ruby almost betrays her friends while her husband Stanley compromises his job as a cop by tampering with evidence to protect his wife and her friends. Toward the end of season 2, he is arrested for his wife's crime and his daughter Sarah no longer looks up to him. Annie gets back together with her ex-husband and almost loses her child Sadie's trust. Sadie in season 2 comes out as a transgender boy, which is a groundbreaking moment for network TV. Good Girls has been praised also for its ability to mingle together drama and comedy. The key for the show, according to Banz, is to keep the banter and the comedy alive through whatever else may come. Banz says the Good Girls' tone is that these are very normal people in an absurd situation. One example is when Ruby always states the obvious in every situation. For example, when the three women are counting the money after the robbery, she whispers, "So, are we robbers now?" And the other two women look at her and seem to say, "Are you seriously asking that?" So she always has that line to state something obvious that distinguishes her. But comedy comes not only from the dialogues, but also from the situation itself. Glances and expressions in difficult situations always make the characters realize that what they are doing is crazy but necessary. Actress Whitman says that the show goes to places which are crazy and dark and genre-bending, but the novelty of Good Girls is that it shows moments that are true and realistic, and sometimes they are not appropriate for primetime television. It doesn't shy away from the truth. Banz also notes that once you have crossed a moral line for yourself, you often start to justify it, and all the things that you'd never thought you'd do start to become very possible. For Beth, this includes starting a secret relationship with Rio, and for the other two, lying to their families. Nevertheless, these three women have a special bond. They get through difficult circumstances, they might lose at first, but they always come back. If something goes down, they can trust each other, and they know that someone has a plan B ready. But it's here that the comedy shows itself. They aren't professional criminals, so most of the times they don't know how to react to their mistakes. So this show is a great character study of three flawed women challenging what's right and what's wrong. Once again, the morality question is at the center of every episode. The authors want the audience to understand the difficult condition that brought those women to act in a bad way, but they also want to show all the dangerous aspects of their choices. The mix of drama and comedy makes the viewer realize how difficult those situations are, but also how real they can feel. And I think many people might relate to them. Right, so that's it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll see you very soon with a brand new episode of Behind the Series.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Series podcast.